You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Without further ado, Jordan Renan joins us now. He covers the Giants for ESPN. Jordan, good morning. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. How you doing?
Anita, good morning. We're doing great. I hope everybody's staying safe and dry.
That's true. So just to confirm, were you in Cleveland this week or no? You were here, right?
Yeah, I was not in Cleveland this week. I will be in New England this week as they go through more joint practices for the second week in a row and play a preseason game, which will actually see most of the Giants' real players. We're not going to see that today, and we didn't see that last week either.
Yeah, if you can kind of explain to us, what can Giants fans expect at 1 o'clock this afternoon against Cleveland? Who will they see?
Yeah, I think you're going to see more like you did in week one of the preseason, where the Giants are going to play mostly their young guys, give them an opportunity to show what they can do. And by young guys, I mean guys that are sort of like, on the verge of, trying to make the roster, those kind of guys. You're not going to see Daniel Jones. You're not going to see most of the established starters. And you're not going to really see their offensive line much either. I don't think that's in the cards. And part of the reason is also the Browns aren't playing their starters. So the Giants, their plan is next week they play New England. You're going to see the starters for most of the first half, maybe even more.
Why is that? You know, there's a number of teams, A, that aren't playing starters at all for all three preseason games. Mm-hmm. There's a number of teams that used this week as their dress rehearsal and are utilizing week three as their bubble game, guys that are trying to make the club or not. Like, you know, there's no real true consistency here in regard to how all 32 teams are utilizing preseason this year.
That's because we're in uncharted territory, right? We've never had three preseason games. There's always been four. So, I don't know. I think you're going to see a lot of trial and error this year, next year, the next few years. I mean, Sean McVay is the guy. You see his approach to preseason. He's not playing anybody at any time, right? I mean, that's Sean. It's worked pretty well for him. You have guys like Bill Belichick. He's not shy about playing his guys in preseason. Obviously, that's worked really well for him. So there's been a lot of different approaches. And it's interesting because you tell me if you've seen differently. I haven't seen anything one way or another of any, like, study or data that shows that one way is significantly better than the other. So I think there's going to still be a lot of, give or take feel. And I think part of it for the Giants, you also have to think about it. So you're throwing Daniel Jones out there in the preseason, right? If you do that right now, there's no Saquon Barkley. He's still rehabbing from his injury. There's no Kenny Galladay. He's rehabbing a hamstring injury he suffered earlier. Kadarius Toney's not playing at this point. Kyle Rudolph's not playing at this point. So then you'll be throwing Daniel Jones out there without really some of the weapons that you're expecting for him to be there in week one. So I don't know how often. I think that might have to play in the Giants' decision a little bit as well. Is he really gaining? Are you really accomplishing what you want to accomplish if he's out there without his two best offensive players and the guys that you're hoping are the real, real difference makers for this team? I think that definitely factors into the equation as well.
Again, Jordan Renan joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Here's my beef, and I know I sound really irritated this morning, and that's because I am. What we're seeing is the majority of games that I've seen, besides the teams that are having quarterback competitions like Denver, like the Saints. Granted, we saw Ben Roethlisberger. Right. He looked great last night. Okay. Tua, I think they need to assess what's going on with Tua because he had such a horrible first year. So there are outliers out there, but the majority of teams that we're seeing, they're putting more weight into these two joint practices than anything else.
Yeah.
But we're not seeing those. And there's because of COVID, I get it. There's not a lot of reporting that's being done from those joint practices. My thing is, if coaches are putting more emphasis in that, I want to see Zach Wilson against Green Bay's defensive starters. That's what I want to see. Like, granted, listen, this young man has impressed me. And I'm sure Jets fans have to be thrilled over the moon what they saw last night and combined with preseason game number one against the Giants. You know they didn't play any starters. So I want to see Zach Wilson against starters. And so those practices, they to me, Jordan, they need to be televised. But, that's my opinion.
Well, hey, let's get the message out to the executives, right? I mean, this is the future, Mandy. These joint practices – are going to be enticing. And you know, the Giants joint practice next week with New England is open to the public. So, I mean, you know, there's definitely an opportunity to broadcast these things. So, I mean, I guess that's the future. You know why coaches like these joint practices better than, you know, let's say the preseason game? It's a controlled environment that they get to control, right? Like, let's say Joe Judge, and this is a big, you know, emphasis in the Giants this year, he wants to see, you know, his team to get red zone work, right? So they basically can run live drills in the red zone. You know, they set up, okay, here's the situation. We're in the red zone. Let's run against the Patriots or the Browns. Whereas in a game, you don't know if you're going to get a red zone snaps, especially if the guy's playing a quarter or a half. Let's say, first of all, you don't move the ball. You don't get in the red zone. Let's say somebody breaks a long run or breaks, you know, catches a pass and takes a slant. Then you don't have red zone opportunities. So this is partially why I think this is the way we're headed. Because they can control, they can say, okay, here's what we want to work on. Here's what we need to work on. We could do it in joint practices. Why do we need to get these guys in, you know, preseason games when this just basically replicates it, but we can control it? So I think we're headed more towards that. And let's be honest, Anita, we're going 18 games and 2 preseason games soon enough. So we're going even more in that direction, which means there'll be more joint practices. So I got, you know what? You know, get the executives at ESPN and NFL Network. Let's get them on board. Let's get these joint practices on TV so we can watch, you know, Zach Wilson against the Packers and Daniel Jones next week against the Patriots. I mean, that'll be, you know, quality TV right there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I would tune into that. Absolutely. Even more so, I'd be more excited to tune into that than you know, what we're watching right now. You know, there's only a few select games.
Yeah, preseason's been a bad product forever.
Oh, right? Man, it's been horrible. Yeah. Except for a few games. Like, you know, I'm paying attention. I love Denver this year. I think Denver's going to make some noise. Now, they're not going to win the division. They're not going to win the division over Kansas City, but I do believe they win more than 9 games and they make it to the postseason.
Right,
you know,
you
I'm in
a quarterback spot. You
want
to see
right. I want it right. Like, I'm
quarterback.
Yeah. Curious.
Justin Fields. Yeah.
Yeah. Curious what's going on with the Saints. You know, I'm a big Taysom Hill fan, you know, but Jameis Winston is, you know, he's been lighting it up. So, You know, there's those storylines that are intriguing to me. But other than that, you know, it's been a poop show. It really has. With that being said,
let's say this real quick. If there's one thing the NFL we know has been good at doing, it's monetizing things, right? So if they see an opportunity, I would bet hard on that the NFL is going to get it right. And at some point, they'll make sure that, hey, we can make money off this. All right, let's do it. We got it. We got a new programming. You know, Amazon or whoever. There's a totally new programming platform we got for you that they can sell. They'll be on top of it. Don't worry about it.
Again, Jordan Renan joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's turn our attention to some of the bigger storylines for the Giants, Jordan, as we get closer to the regular season. You know, and I know you've talked about this extensively, and that is, you know, the pressure for Daniel Jones this year. But, you know, and I read your last column in regard to the offensive line. And if you can, because I think that's going to be a big key, right? We're so critical of Daniel Jones in regard to lack of pocket awareness and all the turnovers, not just the interceptions, but the fumbles. And a lot of that is going to cure itself with the offensive line. So kind of do a deeper dive into the column you had talking about the offensive line as well as the coaching staff.
Yeah. The Giants have an interesting setup there. They got a lot of voices in that room. You have Rob Sale, who's a first-time NFL offensive line coach. He's the offensive line coach. And you have Ben Wilkerson, who's been here for a little bit. He's the assistant. You have Pat Flaherty, who we all know. He was the Giants line coach. He's a consultant, but he's on the field practicing, you know, running practices, helping run practices every day. And you have Freddie Kitchens, who's involved, who's sort of like the assistant offensive coordinator slash, you know, in charge of the run game kind of deal. So he's heavily involved with the offensive line. They got a lot of voices in that room, which will be interesting because there's definitely some people, and Keyshawn, when I was on with their show in the morning, he was not shy about it, saying, like, that's a recipe for it to fail. There's no way you could have 4 voices in that room. And we all know this Giants line is filled with question marks from the, you know, left tackle position all the way to the right side. You could sit there and pick apart all 5 positions for them. So, but I think what you've seen so far in camp and even the preseason over, there's some reason for optimism. I think this could be an okay group. And but it really all to me boils down to Andrew Thomas. I mean, they can't afford for Andrew Thomas not to be a high level player. Like, they can't afford for him to be even serviceable like he was in the second half of last year when he improved, or definitely not bad like he was in the first half of last year. Like, he's the number four overall pick. Like, they need that guy to be good. Like, not just, you know, okay, they need him to be good. And so this is a big year for Andrew Thomas, a lot of eyes on him. And so far, what you've seen in training camp has been encouraging. So I think there's some reason for optimism on that end. And that ultimately will make everyone else better because, look, you need at least one high-end player on your offensive line, right? That, you need that Pro Bowl or All-Pro somewhere. And he's the guy you look at and say, we need that guy to be good.
What is the latest with Saquon Barkley? Do you expect him to be active week one? And if so, is he going to be at a pitch count? What are you hearing? What do you know? What do you think is going to happen there?
I think we're trending in the right direction. So I think that's a positive. I think he's doing a little bit more each week. Obviously, the joint practices are not just going to throw him in joint practices, let another team potentially tee off on him. But I think I mentioned this to you last time. The key date was getting back to practice. On the practice field and practicing to some degree by the Cleveland joint practices, right, in order to be able to ramp him up and get him ready for week one to some degree. And the fact that he was back 10 days before that, I think that to me indicates that he's likely to be there for week one. Now, are we going to see Saquon Barkley out there, you know, especially for fantasy purposes, you know, getting 25 touches, 30 touches? No chance. Like, they are going to bring him along slowly, and Joe Judge has been very open and honest about this, how they're taking a long-range view with Saquon. So you'll see him in a limited capacity, in my opinion, at this point, barring a setback for week one.
Wide receiver-wise, I know a lot of big expectations for Kenny Golladay, but he's been dealing with some injuries of his own. And listen, there's an injury history there. I know you and I have talked about this before.
Yeah.
I won't use the word shocked, but a little surprised. As we both know, the Giants medical staff, one of the most conservative in the NFL, the fact that they signed on and gave the A-OK to sign both Golladay and Kyle Rudolph, we know he's got a foot issue, was a little surprising to me. But with that being said, your thoughts on Kenny Golladay, will he be ready for week one? And how concerning is his hamstring injury?
Yeah, no, he's back doing some light work on the side. I think if they were, you know, closer to the season, you'd see more out of him. But again, that's an injury. Why rush it? So they're playing it. They're taking it slowly. I think also, barring a setback, he should be ready for week one. I expect them to sort of ramp him up like the 2 weeks before the season starts, probably between the final preseason game and the regular season. You'll see Kenny Golladay back. I'm not going to say you're going to see maybe 100% of Kenny Golladay, but I think everything is certainly looking good for him being back. Kyle Rudolph, on the other hand, he's the one you got to be concerned about because we haven't really seen him do much at all, you know, since he's become a Giant. And he had that foot surgery, and they said, oh, no, he's not going to miss any football time. Well, guess what? It's almost a lock now at this point, considering we haven't even seen him really working on the side yet, and which is usually like the progression of guys that are injured. They start working on the side a little bit. They get a jersey on. They start doing a little bit more individual drills, even stretching. He looks like he's a coach out there most days. So it's looking unlikely that he's ready for the season. The big question mark is really Kadarius Toney. He hasn't done much of anything for a variety of reasons since he was drafted. So how much can you realistically hope to get from him early in the season? I think that's going to be a big question, and I don't think anybody really knows that answer, including the Giants.
On the defensive side of the ball, I liked what I saw from this Giants defense last season. What are your expectations for them this year? Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good group. My problem is they were really good last year, and Patrick Graham did an amazing job. I mean, kudos to that group and him. They were able to create a ton of pressure. They were a top 10 defense, and I think they're going to be a good unit this year. Question is, you're trying to find a path for them. Okay, how do they take it to the next level? Right? It's almost like they maxed out last year. Like, I don't know. I look at it and be like, how can that group be so much better? Like, get another cornerback, which, you know, they obviously needed opposite James Bradbury because that was a huge weakness. They did that. Get a, you know, have a pass rusher that really scares the opposition. And I don't think we're I don't think they have that right now. So to me, that's the one area you're like, okay, if they can get that, this can be a top defense. I mean, like top three defense. Can they get that out of Aziz Ojulari as a rookie? That seems like you're asking a little much, right? A second round pick to be like to threaten double digit sacks. I mean, that's pretty rare. So, you know, Lorenzo Carter coming back from an Achilles injury, tough ass. Oshane Zimenez being a real impact player. I'm not sure that was ever really in the cards, but I mean, he could be a contributor. I like the group. It's a good group. They look good on a daily basis at practice. That secondary, I think, can be great, especially if they can get that pass rush. But that's still the big question with this group. In order to take it to that next level, I still think they'll be a good defense, but if they want to be a great defense, they're going to need somebody to become that edge rusher that scares the opponent.
Jordan, again, thank you so much. Great insight. Appreciate your time this morning, and enjoy the game later on this afternoon.
You got it, Anita. We'll do it again soon.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.